You understand my point? I'm actively writing message down. If the day I told you, Slayo, the day I came to preach the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, I jumped on the bed at night with my Bible in my hands, and he opened to Psalm 51, Psalm 50. I wasn't trying to read Psalm 50. And my eye went to one paragraph in that. I had the message for next Saturday. I came out and preached powerfully the sacrifice of Thanksgiving. An average Christian can study for a year reading only Psalm 50. He won't get that. If he wants to get it, he has to listen to me. You know why? It's my ministry. It's grace. That's what Paul is saying. I don't try. I'm telling you, God is my witness. I did not spend 30 seconds before I downloaded that revelation. Not 30 seconds. It wasn't up to 30 seconds. Listen. See my wife? She may not be doing big business yet, but she has never invested one naira and lost money. Absolutely, you calculate at the end of the day, she made a loss. Maybe you are here. Whether if you correct me at the end, I know you can't correct me publicly, but no, let's be realistic that she won't say you are lying. Get my point. I'm not saying she will make it, she turned 500 naira to 1 million naira overnight. No. But people say they invested in this and they lost money. I have married my wife now for almost 6 years. I can't remember it happening. Somebody can carry her money and go. But overall in that business, she must bring a profit. Yeah. Anointing's day. No, my wife can stroll out like this and come back and say, do you know I just made sales, 70,000 naira. I'm telling you the truth. And you saw her 1 hour ago. You didn't know she was going to sell anything. Me, I'm not sure say happy sale. The only thing I've sold in my life is MP3 disc. Kingdom was CD. No, it's grace. That's what I'm trying to explain. I'm trying to bring out the point here. So, but when it comes to understanding, even issues, there was a day my wife looked at me and said, how do you get to know these things? And that was even ordinary economics. So this wasn't even Bible. I just said something to her. But she studied accounting in school. She thought that I had to go to school to know this thing. You're a doctor. How did you know it? I'm serious. Information jumps at me everywhere I go. Do you know why? It's grace. It's not something, just like somebody else is very good at doing business, I'm very good at absorbing and integrating information. It's grace. I told the first year I taught in University of Nigeria Enugu campus, I got an award for the year. Best lecturer. My first year. Are you getting my point? And listen, they qualified the best lecturers. There are four groups. Two of them, I got the award. One of them, they said, best lecturer in giving well-understood lectures. I smiled when they gave me the award in my mind. You don't understand. It is grace. It's an anointing. You cannot tap into the anointing of that giver by giving. If you're not called there, you are not called there. I'm trying to bring out a point, please. Please, just follow me what I'm trying to say. No matter how much you study, if you're not a core teacher, you can't grasp information the way people like me do. The only people that grasp information like me, I know many of them, I can be telling you, look, my pastor in Lagos then, Pastor Kwaju. Oh, first time I heard him preach, I almost fainted. I don't mean that as a joke. That is, I wanted to scream. I was turning in my chair like this, like, ah! I look my Bible. Now this Bible, this guy, they read. After that, I phoned my friend Rashid. I said, Rashid, I heard a word today. That these people were paying pilgrimage to that church, my colleague, my friends, my alumni people, to come and see the guy who flooded back. No, I'm serious. I remember what Rashid said. He said, Banky. No, I told him, I said, I heard a man today that made me feel stupid in the knowledge of the scriptures. He said, Banky, somebody did that to you. Now, I have to come and see the guy. Like, who was able to do that? No, that guy is fast. And you see, he's a knowledge man. You get my point. But I'm going to bring out a point here. That is grace. There are people that are that anointed in business. There are people that are that anointed in economics. There are people that are that anointed in inventions. I heard the story of R.G. Letourneau, the one I was referring to earlier. When the man sold his earth-moving equipment company, The people that bought it, for I've forgotten how many millions of dollars, in hundreds of millions in the 70s, they had to sign an agreement that, please, you will not invent anything else for the next 5 years. Because they know if it goes out, that is, even if they hold all the patents to the former inventions, and the man, this was a 70-something-year-old man at that point in time, if he sits down, invention starts rushing into his head. When he sold the company, he gave out all the money to missions. He didn't need the money for anything. How much will a man eat? You know, I keep on saying that. How much will a man eat? Now, I'm trying to bring out a point here. People sit down every day, Nigeria is bad, Nigeria is bad, Nigeria is bad. Meanwhile, anointed people are here. That if they settle down, God will flow into them mightily with business ideas. God will flow into them mightily with enough ideas to draw $50 billion without them junketing around the world like our president was doing, begging for debt relief. Listen, that our president had to beg for debt relief is a shame on the church. You know why? All of them are taking visa and running up and down. Like, country is bad, country is bad. Let me tell you something about money. Rich people, they are the smartest human beings on earth. They are not wicked. They are very smart. Listen, they talk about, you know, the president will say, investment opportunity, plenty in Nigeria. Listen, businessmen, you don't have to tell them it is there. They will come. If they see, they will come. Listen to what I'm saying. When MTN, Econet and Co. came and invested in telecoms, and they were using trailer to carry money home, everybody else, when they said they wanted to sell Nitel, 13 people queued up. Listen, I heard that the president had begged Tony Blair to persuade Vodafone to come. They didn't come. Then they went through their subsidiary, Vodacom. They were now fighting for Econet. What am I saying? If we sat down and allowed rivers of living waters to flow, they would have been the ones begging. I told the rich people, they are not stupid. They are not wicked. It's their job. If they see it, look, can you see what is going on all over the country now? People are buying 51% or as many things as possible. You know there are some Americans, at least I read their books, they write most in the world, so most of our information comes from there. There are people in America, you know all the job they do, I'm sure they're all over Europe too, but all the ones I've read about are from the US. All they do is start up companies. When it is succeeding, they sell it. They've lost interest. So the man will look at one virgin area. So this is a good business. From the scratch, you build it up. After a few years, the thing is doing well. Put it up for sale. They're paying $50 million for it. Your pocket is $50 million. And go and look for another one to do. It doesn't have time for a headache. Do you know if we use the spirit inside us to do things like that? All these ones are begging for their relief. You'll be selling companies with them. They'll be grabbing it like this. The young man I was telling you about, that God, I've not read it. My friend said he will get me the paper, but he hasn't given it to me to read the story myself. I thought it was a Muslim. He said, no, the guy is not a Muslim. That where did this breakthrough start from? One day he went to Winner's Chapel. Bishop was preaching. Bishop was raising money. He said that somebody has 12,000 naira that God said he should give it. The guy said, wait till you put for mouth talker. Sam, this money, I saved it all for my engine to go and re-ring my engine. But I told you about Jacob, that God will not let Jacob rest. If Jacob really loves the Lord, God will wrestle him until he grabs him, until he conquers him, until he wins. I think God did that to this young man. He got home, he could not sleep. So eventually he carried the money and said, okay, oh, thank you, sir. Me and I take church. Listen, I told you, giving is not kalu-kalu. It is not now, let me give and I'll get plenty back. What this young man got back, I am sure. Listen, what happened was, I believe, this is my persuasion, God called this man in an area and he's not allowing, we are told most of the things we do is actually obstructing the movement of God. The glory of God is obstructed. He never needs to be begged to come. Once you remove obstruction, it comes. That for him, that was the removal of obstruction. Next thing I heard, he had an idea. An idea just came to him, which is what I'm bringing out again. That there's something inside you that bubbles up and starts flowing out as rivers. An idea just came to him. That these oil companies, those days, that they were defrauding the government. So they need to recover some money from them. So he wrote to the federal government about it. Federal government said, that is true. So they gave him their assignment, promising to pay 5% or whatever money he recovers. They said the money was so much, they refused to pay him the 5%. That's how the young man started. After that, he went to go and do postgraduate abroad. I think Harvard, from there, started getting international, he's a lawyer, started getting international jobs on on tax matters and all that. The next thing I knew was that he was buying a company in Lagos for $250 million. He didn't steal a dime from anybody. Do you get my point? I want to use that to bring an issue. That when it is time for economic revival, there are givers. Do you get my point? People that God is entrusting with wealth. Say, go in there. And how does it come? Believe also his prophets, so shall you prosper. There is a spirit inside him, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him ideas. Can you remember what you told me earlier today? The problem with people is fear. I preached a message to my friend's church in Sokoto. That was the year before. The last day, I said, do not fear. When I finished preaching it, he said, if these people had done what he told them, most of them, they would be millionaires. But they were too afraid. Listen to what I'm saying. You have to believe. You know, we're talking about building a great future today. That's our next series of radio broadcasts. I said, listen, one of the things you have to do is to hold on to your faith. And that's why I'm preaching this message today. Because God will give you ideas. Don't throw it away. Remember what we said? Psalm 126. That when it is time for economic revival, it said, restore our captivity, O Lord. Verse 4. Let me read it in the New Living Translation. It said, restore our fortunes, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. Then the answer of the Lord started from verse 5. God said, those who sow in tears, those who plant in tears, we harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. What was he saying? The people said the economy is dry, so they prayed to the Lord, restore our fortunes. God said, fine, I'm ready to restore the fortunes. But the way I do it is that the guys who are there, we have to invest in a bad economy. And when they do it, it will be painful, it will be risky. So without that, I can't do anything. Do you get my point? That is, I will give them ideas. Restore our fortune, he said, I don't ever pour money down from heaven. That is one thing I don't do. He told them, when you get to the promised land, you will plant, then you will harvest. I will give you waters from heaven. You will not have to dig with your feet. You don't have to struggle to bring the nourishment for your seed. Are you getting my point? But you must plant it. That's why I said, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So he said, what you want, a restoration of economy? He said, go and plant your seeds. We shout so much about South Korea. South Korea, I told you about the priestly corner of life. People like Yonggi Cho preach messages that men heard, and they began to invest. From $100 today to $500 tomorrow, little by little, until they have companies that are worth billions and billions and billions of US dollars. They are currently the world's largest manufacturer of microchips. The man that founded Dewu, they went to Sudan and made money plenty. Why? He said there were 99 reasons why we shouldn't go, but we found one reason to go. There were 99 reasons why we shouldn't go. An unstable government, They are ignorant people, They don't have money, They talk. He said, but he found one reason. Very stupid reason. I told you, if God gives a man an idea, that thing to him is the strongest thing in the whole factor. And it doesn't mean that it makes sense. It just means that it is energized by the Spirit of God. God said, I will pour water upon the seed that you have sown. Are you getting my point? The only stupid reason he found, well, they said the country is hot. Therefore, their cars, the tire will be wearing off very fast. So he went there to go and start a tire manufacturing plant just because the country is hot. Even me, preacher, I agree that it's a very stupid reason to invest in a troublesome country. Are you getting my point? But from there, the man said, these people are building. I can construct also. He said, in all that he does, he prospers. What did the man not prosper in doing? He became the Julius Berger of Sudan. You know the way Julius Berger is in Nigeria? That's what he was in Sudan. Constructing everything. These guys went. You've seen their cars all over town. They have TVs, fridges, air conditioners. What don't they make? Even building ships. Why? Because there was a spirit in the man. And the inspiration of the Almighty was giving him ideas. And he had the boldness to believe in the prophet so that he prospered. You are getting my point now? That is the prophet that you believe in is that energizing of the spirit that is inside him. Are those ideas that the spirit of God inside him is generating? You are following what I'm trying to say? That suddenly he will drive by and an idea will strike him. Because I do it. Just watch it. I am not saying it is reasonable. I'm saying that I always need an excuse to bless. You getting my point? That when Isaac was sowing the land, it was not a foolish idea. But I wanted to give him a 100-fold harvest. I didn't know where else to do it.